Jesus often used events of his time, things that were familiar to people, to open up the world of the Father and the love of the Father. What I'd like to attempt is something very similar tonight. Go back to an experience common for all of us this week. Because I think the events point to something greater that these scriptures talk about and to something that Father Evans and I want to speak about for the next 3 weeks. The event I'm speaking about is the death and the funeral of George Herbert Walker Bush, President Bush number 41. Many saw the events unfold in Washington and in Texas around his funeral, and lots of tributes have been spoken. It is said that when a president is elected, shortly after he takes office, he plans his funeral, already lays it out. And no doubt, as the president started to get sick, as his illness progressed, no doubt there was some more remote planning that the family and others did. And then as his health continued to decline, as the family learned that his days on earth were numbered, they no doubt sent an entourage of people to the cathedral in Texas, College Station, and then to our nation's capital. And we saw the results of all kinds of planning and all kinds of execution of that planning. Advent is kind of the same way. The same way. We're invited in this season to remember some careful planning that we are to do all our lives long. Planning for the coming of the Messiah. His coming at the end of the world. His coming at the end of our natural life. His coming right here in our gathering in the Word and in Eucharist. We'll focus next week on that real remote planning. That long-term planning. How do we do it? Well, here at Holy Name, we seek to know the heart of our Lord. That's a lifelong process. Just like knowing the heart of the one you love most, it's a lifelong process. And the hearts of others too. We seek to see his face, for he is visible to us, or he's present to us in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of people. Seeing his face to everyone here, and even to those who lived on the margins. It's a great opportunity for us. And then lastly, to be his hands. To be the hands, the heart, the voice of our God to another who's yearning to hear it or to feel his presence or to know of it. That's a lifelong journey that we're all on. The more immediate stuff is to take a look at our lives and, in John's words, to repent. To let go of those things that hold us back or those things that hold us captive, those things that separate us from the Lord, from one another, and for ourselves. Each of us in our own way will have that final remote preparation as we come to the awareness of the end of our life here on earth and our entrance into eternal life. I see parallels in what happened this week to these scriptures and to our lives. Many people spoke about the president, his contributions to our society, and they spoke fondly about the reunion of him and Barbara and a 3-year-old daughter they lost years ago. They spoke of a future hope, and they hope that he's happy there, that that reunion is happy. The commentators were right on the threshold of going somewhat further. Hold on to that somewhat further. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But before I get there, how easy it is for us to pursue happiness We actually do it all our life long. Every decision we make so that we can be happy in one form or another. Some of the commentators and even people today speak of happiness in our life in heaven. I say there's something more. But even before that life in heaven, we pursue happiness. We pursue it at that basic level where happiness comes through instant gratification. Our young people are really hooked on that because technology is so advanced and things come so quickly. How tempting it is for them and for us to limit happiness just to the immediate, to what satisfies me right here and right now. Those of us older know that that's not enough. That another level of happiness comes in our successes, in that hard work that we do, that kids, students do in the classroom, we do in our employment, in our career pursuits. But we know that that's not enough either. We know that we hunger for something more, and there's a happiness in relationships. From the most important relationships we have to that stranger we've just met today. That relationships coming out of ourself and allowing the other to come out of their self, and the revelation that happens there brings a deeper level of happiness. But still, there's something more. There's something more. Successes and human relationships aren't enough. We pursue something more, and that highest level of happiness comes in that relationship with the Lord. That relationship that we have with Him. And we hunger and we long and we enjoy and we hunger and we long for some more. That's why it's a lifelong pursuit, a lifelong journey. Knowing His heart, seeing His face, being His hands isn't a one-time, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year proposition. It's ongoing. And yet we long for something even greater than the happiness that comes with a right relationship with God. And I call that something greater joy. It's joy that the commentators this week were just on the threshold of talking about. I wonder if they didn't quite know or if they were uncomfortable. Because joy comes in the arena of our faith. Joy is something that's there in the ups and downs of life. Joy is something deep within. And we have it, and we long for it more. Joy is that sense of well-being that comes in that right relationship with God. It's that sense of well-being that comes when we reach that highest level of happiness and continue to go deeper. The Advent season is meant to lift up and elevate that sense of joy, that hunger for joy that we have, and to name that joy that we already experience. John speaks of a joy, and John does some things to pursue that joy. Let me just end there. John goes to the desert because of the continuous planning for our joy that's part of the Father's will. John goes to the desert. Why? To fulfill the prophecy that God made long ago, that God will save His people now. He'll save you and I now, just as He did in the past. How's He going to do it? In ways similar to the past. He led the people of old through a desert. That's why John goes to the desert. He leads people through the desert to a promised land. We're on that same journey, friends. Similar to the past, and then also unique to our gathering. The prophet Baruch says, it's all happening, and we'll see the fulfillment of it. Those remote days will be here when we experience a gathering of all God's people, an ingathering of people, exiles coming home, those scattered returning, sinners being reconciled. The God the Father will be like that prodigal father in Luke 15, who looks and waits and prays and hopes. And when he sees us, he runs simply to embrace us and to throw a heavenly party for us. Those steps are going to bring the fullness of that joy that some of us know, but all of us are longing for and all are looking for. What are you doing? What are you doing to turn in the direction of that joy? What needs letting go, detaching, repenting, changing? We all have something. We all have something. That's Advent's call and invitation. And stay tuned, we'll build on it next week.